Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series, your audio source for international produce markets, trends, market reports, and community discussion. Join us somewhere in the world as we cover all aspects of the international produce and supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Juanita Galio.
Hey, produce people, welcome to the Global Fresh Series, covering all things international in the produce world. Today is April 10th, 2024. I am your host, Juanita Galio, coming to you from Long Beach, California. Thank you to all of our listeners who join us from throughout the world. You came to the right place at the right time because today's show features someone really special, Philippe Pinard, General Delegate of Europe's Forum for the European Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Chain, FreshFel Europe, based in Brussels, Belgium. Before we get started, a few quick announcements. On the international front, April 25th is the Global Cherry Summit in the Monticello Event Center in Chile. And closer to home, get ready for the Produce Industry Podcast upcoming virtual networking event. Mark your calendar for Thursday, April 18th at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time with special guest Neil Gilarty of Wildstyle Media, helping companies tell their story through digital media. And a big thank you to our Global Fresh Series sponsor, proudly Canadian, Peak of the Market. Connect with them at the upcoming CPMA 2024. Their booth is number 931. Capture your memories at their veggie-themed photo booth and meet their passionate team of growers and their whole team. Let's get started with our special esteemed guest, Philippe Pinard of FreshFel Europe.
Bonjour, bienvenue à la Global Fresh Series, Philippe. C'est un grand plaisir de vous avoir là.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you very much for welcoming me in your program.
Fantastic. Today, we take you to Brussels, Belgium to meet today's guest. We have the great pleasure and honor of having Philippe Pinard join us. Philippe is very well known in Europe as he is the general delegate to Europe's major produce organization, FreshFel Europe, the European Fresh Produce Association. He's also a member of many other fresh produce trade organizations. FreshFel Europe oversees the interest of the fresh produce members through policy making, some of which we will discuss today. Philippe, I will pass it to you to tell us more about your organization and some of the policies that you have worked with.
Very good. Thank you very much for this opportunity. So yes, I have been in the fresh produce sector for quite a while, since 1987. So that was at that time I joined one of the organizations active in Brussels, which was representing the companies trading fresh produce in Europe. And since then, a lot of things have been happening. I think I've been following and hopefully influencing also some of the different milestones which have guided the evolution of the fresh produce sector in Europe and more globally, because I think we are in a sector which is quite international. More concretely, from my side, I've been following the different steps of the EU enlargement, meaning in particular the accession of Spain and Portugal, which are then Greece, two of the three countries which are producing a lot of fruit and vegetables. So that was changing a lot the dynamic of the sector. There's been also the Uruguay round, for those who will remember, which have changed mainly the environment in which countries have to operate in terms of subsidy, in terms of trading, setting up the new GATT rule for the trade with the SPS agreement. There's been also a new dynamic, progressive dynamic, first the growth of the Southern Hemisphere product, which were also coming over. There's been then progressively also the opening of the Asian country. There's been the banana saga in Europe also, some of you will remember also. And then all of that has also led to some policy reform in Europe, moving to a more structure-based support in Europe rather than a support to the product, meaning before, the more you produce and the more you claim for subsidy, the more you receive. Now, I think it's more into what kind of activity you are engaging and what are the business projects that you could have and have it financed. And then I must say we should not forget that already at the turn of the century, we were already in the digital age in Europe and driven by all what has happened in terms of traceability, where we were, I think, in Europe, pioneer in developing traceability scheme for fresh produce. So So all of that has been also at the core of what is the main activity of Fresh for Europe. It's an organization that was created, and I don't know, for auditors in the US, I should remind that it was created on the 11th of September 2001, which was a very sad day in the US and in the world. But that was the day that we were gathered to set up the basis of the new structure in Europe, harmonizing, merging the two main organizations which were representing the trade. But very quickly, we have seen that people were understanding that we should not be representing one particular segment, but that we should be the representation of the sector as a whole, where the protagonist is the fruit and the vegetable and not a particular segment, and that we all have common interests. And at the end, there are many challenges that are to be shared and to be addressed all together. And that has worked relatively well. So there were not the cacophony maybe that was announced by having growers and retailers in, and also all the different segments of the trade in the same organization. The vertical integration that we have set up has worked, where people know that they are superior interest to defend position and the consumption of fresh fruit and vegetables. And really all of that has worked very well. It has worked well also then designing the function of the organization with a double representation or double mission. On the one hand, being based in Brussels, which is the headquarters of the European Union, to be here for the advocacy of the sector, to be defending the element that we can do in policy shaping at the European level, and then also be a platform for networking, a platform for engaging with decision makers, but also not only on advocacy, but on matter of common concern. So not everything is linked to policy. There are a lot of things where the sector has to discuss matters which are
among
relevant
each other,
to everyone.
Yeah, among retailers and suppliers, and then
exactly
you have the challenge as well of different countries, different languages, but the same problems.
Exactly. And make sure that where there is a talk about fresh produce, we can be there. And that's what we are in Freshfeld. And for those around the world who are listening to me, if you want to know more about what we can provide as a service, as an information, as a networking opportunity, you can find all the information on our website, which is freshfeld.org, quite easy to see. And we will be very pleased to engage, because the greater the network, the best we can do our work in Brussels.
Yeah, and regarding membership, is it limited just to EU countries, or can other people join as well? For example, I know
we talked about the
Southern Hemisphere, growers, shippers. I know Morocco is coming on strong.
So the core of our representation is obviously around the European fruit and vegetable sector. So the what we call the full member, producer, exporter, wholesaler, importer, or retailer from Europe. But we have a lot of connection internationally with suppliers from third country, with logistic company, with other service provider. So it's really the supply chain, not in a very narrow definition. Mm-hmm. And we have companies and we have national association or organization representing different companies. So we have a platform which works relatively well. And from the European perspective, I think it gives us a good political leverage with the national organization, which make also the policy in their own country, and also with the individual company, which are very operational. So I think we have there a big advantage to make sure that we are very close to the business reality to make the best possible message to the decision maker.
And about how many members do you have?
We have I don't know whether we have to count into a number. We have about 200 members, but I think we have to talk more about the representativeness of the sector. And I think we are in Europe a very representative and respected voice, hopefully, of the fruit and vegetables sector.
Yeah.
But what's the fruit and vegetable sector? I think it's interesting maybe for people around the world to understand a little bit what it means. We grow for the fresh market, so only for the fresh market, about 80 million tons in Europe. There is more, of course, because you have also the grape for wine on part of the citrus production for juice. But what stay on the fresh market, it's about 80 million tons. Out of that, I think it's quite interesting, about close to 50 million will remain in the member states, so in Spain or in France or in Italy or in Germany or in Poland, where it has been grown. So The first feature of the sector, we are a local business, mm-hmm. primarily a local business. Then trade is, of course, very important, and it has a trade dimension intra-EU with all the movement, that's 30 million tons, which is moving from one member state to the other, that provide diversity, that provide complementary, that provide competition also, which is good on the marketplace. So there is already a lot of dynamics, and some of the trade inside Europe could also go from Almeria in the very south of Spain up to Helsinki, which is very far away,
or
from some region of Poland to go to France or even to the UK, which unfortunately is not anymore close to the European Union. And so we have also an international element with all the export that we do to different countries, mainly the EU neighborhood, but it has been impacted by different geopolitical events last year.
And the Ukraine.
Also Ukraine, but also Belarus, Russia, a Russian embargo in 2014. And then sadly, the Brexit, which was also important. And then Europe is also the bigger importer in the world, 15 million tons of exotics, of Southern Hemisphere products, neighborhood products from Morocco, Turkey, Egypt. So I think it's an international dimension.
Very interesting. We've got a lot of things going on there.
Also, as a sector, different other elements, the health element, the consumption of fresh produce, which are very good for the health. And we have a social dimension because there is a lot of business behind, a sustainability element because we are very low on environmental impact. And we have also an economic dimension because the sector represents 300 billion euro turnover.
Find that so fascinating because you have, again, there's so many elements going on here, let alone within Europe, but let alone all the imports coming in. So I want to come back to this after we take a quick break and discuss more some of the specific issues. For example, the PEFC produce or product environmental footprint we talked about yesterday, this new plastic ban that was just implemented by the EU. But right now we're going to take a quick break and hear from our fabulous sponsors and those relationships in the produce and supply chain industry.
Are you ready to elevate your produce aisle and captivate customers with fresh, high-quality vegetables? Look no further than Peak of the Market, where we connect great farmers with caring consumers. Visit booth 931 at the CPMA convention and trade show to connect with our passionate staff and growers to discover how we're working to fill half of every plate across North America. Learn how our core value of being rooted in growers drives every decision we make. From seed to plate, Peak unites the entire supply chain with a full service team handling everything from sales to logistics, packing, and distribution. We've got your veggie needs covered. Don't miss out. Visit Peak of the Market at booth 931 from April 23rd to April 25th at the CPMA Convention and Trade Show in Vancouver, Canada.
Welcome back to the Global Fresh Series. If you are just joining us, welcome. And a big thank you to all of our sponsors. Let's return to our interesting discussion with Philippe Binard of Freshvel Europe.
Well, yes, I don't know where to start because there are so many things to say about what has been happening, but maybe from a European perspective, it's interesting to look back what has been happening the last 5 years, which was the current legislative term that we have in Europe. And I think that has been quite an unusual period. Unusual period because that has been marked by COVID. It has been marked by a war in the European continent. Mm-hmm. And I think also when we look back, we are a sector which is very resilient, which have been always adapting to different situations. But we see in the last year that we have really an acceleration of crisis. I think the first major crisis might have been the Russian embargo. Then there have been all the questions around Brexit. Each time the sector has been preparing, adapting. Since COVID, I must say, we have really an acceleration of new situation which require fast adaptation. Some of them were positive. At the end, COVID for the fruit and vegetable sector was not that bad with people staying at home. Looking back to freshness and to time for preparing food at home. But then we had the post-COVID, which was all the logistic hurdle and a logistic crisis. And then there have been very quickly after the situation with the war in Ukraine, where probably on the European continent, we were much more affected because of the
closeness,
rising cost of energy, because of some of the shortage in the
grains.
Supply of raw material, being maybe the packaging, the wood, for the pallets, etc., which come from Belarus, from Ukraine. So there's been an acceleration of crisis that we call polycrisis in our jargon in Freshfel, where there's been a succession of energy crisis, economic crisis, mm-hmm. geopolitical crisis, logistic crisis.
Wow.
and then also, I think we have to mention it because that's probably the more damaging one, which mm-hmm. is the climatic crisis.
Yes.
We see mm-hmm. more often that we are losing the possibility of producing. And for the first time, I think in Europe, combining maybe the impact of the Green Deal, which was one of the main policy driver of the last European Commission, and the climatic condition, we are losing productivity. We don't have the tool to combat new pests and disease. And this is very worrying that today we are in a situation where productivity is declining. We have everything available. We have precision farming. We have better variety, which might be more productive. We have better technologies also. We have a way to control weather condition. But at the end, we see that we are declining.
See, the yields declining because of the climate change? I know it's becoming much hotter. You're having horrible heat waves during the summer in Italy and Spain, the southern part of Europe.
Well, you have everything. It's not only the heat wave. It's also major flooding in summer
right.
that has destroyed. It is scarcity of water, drought. It is late frost. So I think climate change is taking different form. And mm-hmm. we need to adapt. We need to continue to be resilient. Fortunately, the sector has shown it's resilient, but maybe there is a limit to resilience. Mm-hmm. And I think that came also again, you might have followed, some of you who are listening, the program that there's been major demonstration of farmers in different
yes.
countries in Europe in the past few months already.
Yeah, they've been out there
which is a protest against the far-reaching implication of the Green Deal, which is a protest against the consequence of climate, maybe consequence also about maybe a too big trade liberalization that was mm-hmm. maybe more on grain and some other product than on fruit and vegetables that the criticisms were made. But we are in an environment where a lot of things are changing. I think in the sector, if we look at some of the topics, the first one that I would like to mention with the Green Deal is that to cope with international agreement, but also regulatory obligation in Europe, there is now a growth of reporting obligation for everyone in the sector, starting with the grower, but then also down in the chain to the retail to make sure that you have your footprint identified so that you can show that you improve the performance. You have also what we call the corporate social responsibility, which mm-hmm. is in the middle of its implementation today, which is trying to identify the materiality that is impacting the business, so the outside world impacting the activity of the company, but also how the company is impacting on the outside world, both on an environmental and a social level. And this is what is called the CSRD, the Corporate Social Responsibility Reporting. We are already going beyond. Once we identified all these different things that can influence the activity, it's also whether the steps that are being taken are the right ones. So, and that's the due diligence. Are we taking the right steps to cope with all the societal concerns, regulatory requirements?
Is this what you're doing with the produce environmental footprint?
That's one of the elements. That's on the product footprint. While the CSRD and the due diligence are more on the activity of the company. So one is on the product, the other one is on the reporting. And all of that will become very important because it's the access to finance, access to subsidy, mm-hmm. access to insurance, because all these companies also have to do that. Equity funds to give money. They need to give money to a sector who take the right step. Mm-hmm. So I think as a sector, and we have already started the sustainability journey more than 20 years ago, I think we are at the forefront, and maybe it's easier because we are very low on environmental impact and we are very high in the health benefits. So there are mm-hmm. two essential pillars of a better world. So it's probably easier to do that in the food sector, but we need to take a number of steps which cost money, difficult to calculate. The environmental footprint is not an easy task. We need data. We need mm-hmm. to cope with all the complexity of the product flow. So it's not easy. But I think we are doing well, and we are probably, again, pioneer in the agri-food sector in what we are doing. Legislation is also impacting us on different elements, and sometimes we are presented as being an essential sector, mm-hmm. but at the same time, we have a lot of hurdle and obstacle that come into our route. Packaging legislation in Europe is a good example.
Yes, that just happened this earlier this month.
Yeah, there have been some decision to ban plastic packaging in most of the case, that's the general rule, unless exemption will be allowed. We don't think in Freshfeld that this is the role of the decision maker. I think everyone has to take the best decision. And sometimes the best decision would be to still continue to use a kind of plastic packaging. And I think it's important to remind that in Europe, probably in average, there are different situations in all the country, but around 50% of the product are being sold loose. That means that 50% are still packed, but the packaging have a function. So there is reason why you pack for mm-hmm. food safety, for shelf life, for marketing,
waste.
For information to the consumer, for segmentation, for
a
large number of reasons why we need to use packaging. And now we will enter in a debate at the end to organize the phase out of 1.5% of the packaging in the retail shelf. So we are a very small part of the region.
Well, there is this ruling definite, or will they be open to any kind of modifications to the ruling? How final?
Well, what we have to look now is that the nitty-gritty details of some of the rules establishing the list of products which might deserve to have a derogation, but this is not very productive, and it's not taking into account the responsibility of the sector, which is aware that we have to reduce plastic or to reduce the footprint of the product. So all of that difficult. And at the end, this is also something which is damaging what is probably the major challenge around the world, which is stimulating the consumption of fruit and vegetables.
Yes.
I think we are in Europe around 350 grams on average per person. But what is interesting is what is behind the figures. This figure is driven by the elderly population. And we mm-hmm. see that the youngest, the millennials, they don't eat enough. And these are the consumer for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of challenge to raise the bar, to adapt to what Europe is willing, which is to move to what I call a plant diet and not a plant-based diet. So to have a certain shift of the diet of the consumer to make it more sustainable. Coming back to my previous comment that we are the lowest in terms of environmental impact and the highest in terms of the health benefits. So if they want to attain the objective of the Green Deal, of the farm to fork strategy, of the EU beating cancer plan on the 55, which is the reduction of carbon and go to the carbon neutrality, mm-hmm. that everyone wants to have within the Paris Agreement, the option of fruit and vegetable is part of the solution. And therefore, we need to be stimulated the consumption. And what I'm just saying, when we were referring to the 400 grams, that was something which was coming from the WHO, the World Health Organization. Mm. So for a good health, you need at least 400 grams. But what is new now?
And it's like, okay, five a day here. We have the
five a day is only... It's only 400 grams, and that's not enough. Today, people are saying, and some organizations in Europe, like the Nordic Council, which group the Scandinavian and the Baltic country, they say, it's not 400 grams, it's 800 grams that you need to eat per day.
Mm-hmm.
Adding the environmental element into the health benefit. So you need 400 grams for the health and 400 grams for the environment. So we have a lot of challenge, but at the end, it's a positive message at the end. If we don't eat enough and we have to reach the 800 grams, there is a fantastic growth opportunity for the sector, which will be a common challenge all mm-hmm. around to make sure that we can grow the product. We were talking about a decreased productivity. So we need to address this issue of productivity, make sure that we produce enough to mm-hmm. accompany the demand that will help to have a stronger sector, keep the diversity, because we are afraid with the packaging that at the end we will move into less segmentation and more two or three generic products. So all of that are not good. And we have to address everything which could improve the image, improve the accessibility, maintain the affordability, of the fruit and vegetables towards consumer. And if we do that, I think we will have
positive outcome. Exactly. And especially for the future, you brought up a really good point of trying to stimulate it among the millennials, the younger generations, because you want to keep that pattern growing all the way through to, like I said, cradle to grave, as we said yesterday, but that was with the product environmental footprint, but it can still be the same for us, for people.
Right.
We adapt these good habits earlier, become used to eating fresh fruits and vegetables. Well, there's so much more we could talk about. We're just starting to open the door. I'll have to have you back, Philippe, and we'll have to get maybe more into the conversation of how do we get consumers on both, you know, in the U.S. market, we're struggling with the same challenge to get people to increase the consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables. And it's always the same message, you know, there's different ways to eat things like broccoli, cauliflower, they're the basics, but there's many different ways to eat them or to integrate them. And I think that's what we have to work with consumers, showing them that, and have to talk about
And we have a lot of assets that need to be well communicated to consumer and influence their decision process, because most of them are aware, but I think converting the awareness into a concrete action once they are in a shop or once they have to prepare something at home, it's probably the main part of our education. And I think a final message, I think everyone knows that we have healthy product, but there is a big discussion about claims. We cannot tell it. A doctor can say it,
exactly.
A media can say it, but the sector cannot take
Same
the
here.
Benefit of this, because the claims rules are so complex, certainly in Europe, but we have been looking also into the US and some other country. It is very difficult with a generic product, which is so different. One apple not be exactly the same other apples. So to make a claim, you need to embark into so many different study, research, that it makes it
time and money.
There should be more freedom for the sector
to
raise the health benefit of the sector or of the product towards the consumer.
That's a really good point. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. And I do want to comment that I will say when I was living in Brussels, the restaurants always served incredible food, fruits and vegetables, all the different meals there, and really good food, especially, of course, the chocolate.
Yeah.
All right. So
the chocolates are much more expensive, 8 times or 9 times more than fruit and vegetables.
Yeah,
vegetables remain the affordable and nice option.
Well, it has really been a pleasure and an honor having you here today. I know how busy you are with your role there at Freshfel, and we're going to definitely have you back maybe in a few months to see what has evolved. Keep
My
us posted
pleasure.
On any of the seminars. I love that seminar that we had yesterday. So anyone who's interested in joining your seminars here or in other countries, check out their website. It might be a different time zone, but it's well worth it. And we're going to leave you here. It has been a pleasure. And as we say here at the Produce Industry Podcast, we will see all of you in the fields and on the horizon, whatever time zone you are in.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series with Juanita Galio. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon to get new fresh episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.